Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain here on a Tuesday night. If you're listening live or wherever you're getting your podcast, we appreciate you joining us. As always, we love being here on FM Talk 106.5, and I'm joined by the Johnny Gwynn.
Yo!
And howdy. How are you, bud?
I am fair to middling.
Okay, that's fine. We got Philip here as well. Philip, how are you?
Doing pretty well.
Good. And we got fair to middling and pretty well. That's no bad vibes. That's all we can ask for.
There you go.
Johnny, I was thinking about this while I was sitting in the car waiting to get ready for the show. I thought, you know, we'd often talk about how fast this AI revolution is going to happen and what may happen in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the goal line we talk about normally, like 5 or 10, right? We don't really talk about what's going to happen next month, at least not together. But if you go back, we've been doing this show 3 years. If you go back just 2 years, it probably was the very first time we even talked about AI on the show.
Yeah.
And now it covers 80%+ of our time.
I got to be honest. Crypto news is really boring these days because it's kind of been the same, and we don't talk about price discovery. We don't talk about those kind of things. It's just not something to really get into anymore because what's the purpose? I say it's 117,000 right now for Bitcoin. Within 30 seconds, it might be 121,000. Yep. But yeah, AI is the thing that is on the tongue of, like, you listen to Fox Business. I bet you every other segment is an AI segment.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
And how it affects even the most established companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I try to avoid the news. I figure if it's that important, you or Agent Zena will tell me about it.
Correct. And your X feed.
In my X feed. Now, I try not to follow too much political stuff on my X feed, but, you know, a lot of it just bleeds.
Of course, it will infiltrate what you do. Yeah. But I'll tell you, I watch a lot of the business networks because they do cover the kind of big news of the day. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I tune most of that out because I have it on while I'm working, and it's usually as background noise. But I do keep an ear out for these CEOs of companies that come on. And I mean, the first time I ever heard of Palantir, you know, mm-hmm. that was on Fox Business, you know, I mean, and then a lot of times it gives me a lot of things to like watch in my watch list mm-hmm. for, you know, a NASDAQ trading or whatever.
Sure.
But it really is a good, you just can't keep up with everything. And, you know, I get 3 or 4 or 5 newsletters a day mm-hmm. and I'm still overwhelmed by like what I have and, you know, what I take in every day. But I got to be honest, most of it's for developers and it's kind of way over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the stuff, AI stuff I get, I have to like ask Grok or someone to dumb it down for me. Like, what is this and why it's important?
Right.
So.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't mean to imply that the news doesn't matter. It does. It affects everybody's life in some degree or the other. I just have chosen to opt out.
Right, it's tragedy porn. I was watching something today, and you know they almost relish like going to the family member to get that person that of the victim to like cry or like yeah, it really is statement. That they really feed off
true doom scrolling.
I mean, they do, especially the networks. They do feed off that dopamine hit of watching suffering. I mean, it's unbelievable. But, I mean, look.
It leads, right?
It is, and it's also, but TV is also this big thing more of, like, narrative and this dramatic narrative. And they will hammer it over and over again. There's 5 stories a day that every one of these characters, and I call them characters. They are not real people. These people are characters on these shows. And they create their narrative with their character, and they say that they sell the same 5 stories every day over and over again, and people watch it. My mother watches mm-hmm. it all day. And it does. It wears and tears on you. So,
yeah, well, you know, you like what you like. I'm not here to tell anybody else how to live their life.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I can also tell you it's in the moment, even though I say it's the same 5 stories that happened 6 hours ago. It's in the moment where I've watched so much TV in my life, I can't watch TV anymore because it's just all reruns. At least news is like happening in the present.
Sure.
Outrage merchants.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I mean, nobody wants a channel of all positive news. They won't watch it.
Right.
It's the puppy channel. You know, it's the whatever. They're not going to watch it.
No kitten videos.
Yeah, not going to watch it.
That's not the human condition.
No, the human condition is a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And I would say on a grand scale, it would probably be more dark than light. On a grand scale.
It'd be hard to argue against that when you look around sometimes.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, again, I heard an awesome description of the word diet recently, and it's not just food.
Yeah.
Diet is everything you consume. And that is an interesting way of looking at how that should work.
Yeah,
everything you consume, and you need to be on a thinner diet.
Wise words, Johnny Gwynn. See you in a minute on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. Glad you're joining us. Johnny, probably should jump right into what was some of the biggest news of last week.
Well, last week was definitely the AI, the White House AI roadmap. Trump's roadmap of AI. So David Sacks was involved with that, and it was Cynthia Luminous, blah, 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 I can't say her name right, a whole host of people, a lot of energy people were involved, so it's pretty dry.
Yeah.
So let's just get Zena to give us the lowdown.
Perfect.
All right.
Hey there, tech trailblazers. Agent Zena here on Beyond the Blockchain, diving into America's AI action plan unveiled July 23, 2025 by the Trump administration. Think of this plan as a turbocharged roadmap to make the US the global AI MVP. It's got three big plays: speeding up innovation, building AI infrastructure, and leading the world in AI diplomacy and security. First, it's all about cutting red tape, like clearing a cluttered desk to work faster. The plan scraps old rules to let AI companies innovate freely and pushes for open source AI, like sharing a recipe so everyone can cook up their own AI dish. It also invests in training workers so more folks can join the AI game. Next, it's building the backbone. Think constructing highways for AI data to zoom through. This means more data centers, US-made chips, and a stronger power grid to keep it all running. Security's tight too, with new standards to protect against hacks. Globally, the US wants to be the AI export champ, sharing tech with allies while locking out competitors with strict controls, especially on chip-making gear. It's like picking your team carefully in a global tug of war. For crypto enthusiasts and investors, this is huge. Deregulation and open source AI could spark new blockchain AI mashups, but tighter export rules might squeeze hardware costs. Stay sharp, adapt fast, and ride this AI wave to stay ahead. This is Agent Zena signing off. Keep exploring Beyond the Blockchain.
Well, keep exploring is the right answer there. It's, you know, a lot of times on this show we've talked about what the benefit of guardrails, right? And we used to talk about the benefit of guardrails in crypto,
right?
And why that was necessary.
And they're still working on that.
Still working on it, and why that, but why it matters to consumer confidence. And I think with this AI roadmap idea, at least we're starting to have a conversation, a national conversation about what our national approach to AI is going to be.
Looking at it as a resource, like this idea of like, whoa, like oil and gas, right? Well, they know the next century will be AI information and AI information systems.
Yeah.
And so the idea is we have to start building the pieces together of, are we making our own chips? Are we doing our own things? Do we have enough power? Do we have enough data centers? So the idea of saying this is now the priority. Now, if it gets into execution, that's one thing, because I think that history shows that there's a 90% chance that the Republicans, the Trumpians, will lose the House in the midterms. And they, you know, Sanders and Warren and all those jackals that have always been against this stuff, will come in and just crash it.
Yeah.
And so the idea is we don't really have a national plan. We have a temporary plan about who's in power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and I don't think Dingbat Warren would ever capitulate to understand of like, it's coming if you like it or not, Dingbat.
Yeah.
And so she'll stand in the way because that's just what she does. And that's the sad thing about it. But at least there is someone saying you have to make a plan before you can succeed.
Yeah, well, it's better to have a plan. And
yeah, no I plan. Really hate politicians, but I really hate the left.
Yeah.
I really hate the left. They are miserable, horrible human beings that get in the way of, and they call themselves progressives. And the funny thing is, I'm always wondering what they're progressing.
Well, ask Grok the correlation between people who identify as extremely liberal.
Yeah.
And also are being treated for mental disorders.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, you know, I forget.
I can't remember what the
famous radio
was,
guy that would say like, liberalism is a mental disorder. I forget his name, Savage. Yeah, I said his name was Savage. But I used to think that was hyperbole. And now
he used
I'm
to
like,
be here.
It is. That's the way
station.
It is. Yeah.
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 Michael Savage.
Michael Savage, yes. Yeah. He was banned for all of Great Britain. He could not go there for having a radio show.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Kerr Stormer.
Kerr Stormer.
How much of a Nazi name does that sound like? I'm just saying. I know he's, you know. But.
It's like if
oh,
George
no, he
Lucas,
acts like a Nazi.
Yeah.
If George made Lucas
a villain.
Wrote the movie instead of Spielberg.
Yeah. So he says, oh, Great Britain's always been for free speech. They literally banned a dude from having an American radio show. But well.
You know that line from The Simpsons, cartoons don't have to be consistent? That's how I think of politicians.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Like, well, there's an episode of The Simpsons where they says, oh, you can't do that yesterday, whatever. And the other character says, cartoons don't have to be
consistent.
It's
called canon, buddy. You have to stay in canon.
Yeah. Well,
if all else fails, you do a parallel universe episode or a time travel episode.
Never fails.
Or a dream episode.
Dream.
There you go.
Or you just do an entire dream series. Like
Newhart.
Newhart. Yeah,
Newhart was an entire dream series. That's so good.
Well, obviously, St. Elsewhere.
Good. That's right. Well, that was the inner the imagination of an autistic child looking at a snow globe, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
A life is but a dream, an autistic vision. Wow.
And all and anything David Lynch does is life is a dream, but who's the dreamer? Like, that's anything that he does.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Cronenberg is almost like that.
Yeah, very much. They're compatriots for sure.
Yeah.
What did David Lynch do Twin Peaks?
David Lynch did Twin Peaks. Mulholland Drive, Wild Heart, Blue Velvet. Woo! That's a good one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's going to be an interesting world, and I'm looking forward to it. I stay cautiously optimistic about it.
I do. Again, we have a short amount of time, and also there's so much money to be made. Like, look how much money. Golly. I mean, NVIDIA. I mean, NVIDIA is, I mean, the short amount of time, that company went from, like, record from 0 to 1 trillion, and now they're at 4 trillion market cap. I mean, I think it's the fastest growing company in history.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I was using
the they have no competitors. None. Yeah. No one's doing what they do.
TMSC, but you know, they're
No, everyone says it's not even time. It's like a jalopy. I mean, it's like a jet car and like a horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah.
So, I did see something interesting what you were saying about in the first segment about AI. How we didn't talk about it, and then all of a sudden it's all we talk about. Mm-hmm. I saw a picture on X yesterday that was from 1901, and it was New York City, like Wall Street, and it was one car and 50 horse-drawn carriages.
Okay.
By 1913, it was 100 cars and one horse-drawn carriage. So in 12 years, it was not even a thing, and that is pretty – and that is a – things moved a lot slower than they're moving now.
Right.
But that was a pretty interesting photo. Again, very same point of view, and it says one horse. Oh, sorry, one car, 1901, one horse, 1913.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, about 4 years or so ago, I was using a bunch of AI models for, stem splitting, you know, audio tracks, stem splitting. So I knew it was coming, but I just figured, you know, these are nice tools for, I pick, like the AI already has a built-in prompt. I'm picking each model based on its preset prompt and then use it for that. But I mean, I knew more was coming because I remember even before that, in 2013, the Stephen King message board, somebody brought up AI and it had written a story already. And the story that they picked that the AI had written was already convincing.
They've been talking about AI since the 80s and the 90s. It's just now it's becoming, I guess, what we – and I think artificial intelligence, Trump said this, is a terrible name for it. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly what it's doing.
Well, it's not. Yeah. It's not. I'm now more and more synthesized in line that it's. Yeah, it's not intelligence.
Right. It's a pattern machine, and we cover that in the next segment.
Just pattern recognition,
And we cover a beautiful version of that in the next. So everybody stick around. It's a beautiful segment, and it's not. It's very positive.
Good,
but it's a way of looking at something. But there's been more things in the news, by the way.
Okay, tell me what else.
AI just found 86,000 hidden earthquakes in Yellowstone.
Okay.
So new systems are allowing them to decode Earth's volcanic heartbeat.
Oh, nice.
And improving how we predict and manage volcanic and geothermal hazards. Yellowstone also is a home to a super volcano.
Yeah, it's going to be good to know if that thing's getting a little angry.
Yeah, and super volcano is pretty much goodbye humanity.
2012, remember that movie? They had like the Yellowstone super volcano go off and split that whole area apart.
There's five, I think, super volcanoes. I know there's one in Iceland too, but yeah, the one in Yellowstone is the one that's kind of due.
Well, the weird thing. All right, so I love how we use. It's all about language, right? Here we go again.
Yeah.
It's due, as in it hasn't blown in, I don't know, 100,000.
13 million years, right? Yeah, whatever it is.
13 million years.
Yeah, whatever it is, right.
So it's definitely going to happen in the next 1 million years.
Right.
So,
hold on. Right.
There's a 5% chance.
The margin of error is a million years.
Right.
But it could happen tomorrow.
Happen tomorrow.
And I think human existence might be somewhere between 20 and 10,000. Is that right?
Oh.
For humanoids.
Well, this is another really interesting thing. If you asked that question a year ago, we'd have said 30,000
years.
Oh,
wow. Okay. Yeah.
If you ask that question today, most people are saying 300,000 years ago.
What?
Which is why it's shattering the timeline on human evolution.
Yeah.
There's no way that we could have been around 300,000 years ago.
Not a meteor earthquake.
And then we did progression for hundreds of thousands of years, and then in the last 100 years.
But isn't that going back to the hidden civilization?
It's exactly where it's going.
Okay, all right, yeah.
It's somewhere along the way. Yeah. They went underground, they got wiped out,
whoever. Right. Yeah.
Lost all technology and had to reboot. Yeah.
There's been four.
We're just the latest reboot.
Four iterations of innovative civilizations that have been destroyed one way or the other.
And their advanced
technologies. We keep restarting over and over and over again.
Their advanced technologies don't have to look like ours.
No, quite different. Right. Yeah.
It just because, we don't think it's advanced, their advancements were different. I mean, you talk about the heartbeat of the volcano.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that kind of goes into that idea that. The heartbeat of the earth, or the breath of the planet. Like, they'll be able to measure the breathing of the planet.
Using the geothermal heat of the supposedly the mantle of the Earth is like 10 times hotter than the sun.
That's a lot of heat.
And I have to look that up again, but I heard recently.
What kind of insulation do we have around that?
It's a lot of dirt. It's a lot of fossils, and I guess that's where oil helps make oil.
Do you believe in fossils?
Oh, right. You believe in fossils?
Yeah.
My favorite thing is God put those there to test your faith.
Yes, that's it.
Look, if he wanted to, he could, but I've seen no evidence.
God the trickster.
To make me think that was his grand plan.
Yeah. Also, it makes it look a lot less more interesting and complex.
Yeah. Actually, maybe it really is God the trickster.
Yeah.
And
that's Enoch, by the way, Book of Enoch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's one of the banned gospels?
It is.
The Gnostics.
It's an apocryphal gospel, yes.
Yeah, that's where they get the hierarchy of all the demons and how they messed around with Earth.
That's the Anunnaki.
Is that where we get the Anunnaki from?
Anunnaki.
Oh, yeah.
Two
brothers. It's Enoch and the other one, and like one super smart and one is roughly has Down syndrome, and we end up with the one with Down syndrome.
The yin and the yang.
Yeah, seriously. So the whole thing is Earth is a joke. Like, Earth has been run by people who were not meant to ever run.
We're all descended from...
It's from the wrong side.
From the other
side. We're the wrong side.
Got it. Interesting.
I'm not using that. They use another word, and you're supposed to use, but all stuff. Yeah. So don't take that. I probably should have said it that way, but... I apologize.
Well, I think people are pretty forgiving.
Oh, yeah. Too. Well, I hope we'll see. It came out wrong. I didn't want to use the R word.
So. Yeah. All right, folks. We'll be back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm Scott Tindall. This is Johnny Gwynn and Philip here with us. Johnny, you know I like to try and lean toward the positive side of life, and it's my understanding that you have a positive AI story for us.
I do. We have so many things we pass between ourselves, between our direct messages on X and email and text. I came across this on the Slack channel, and it was like, oh, this is great. Maybe we should just read this and talk about it. That was 3 weeks ago. So I came up and said we should bring this back up. It's a blog by the famous Seth Godin, G-O-D-I-N.
Love it.
Supposedly one of the world's first bloggers.
He's a genius.
And he's a very good thinker. And I'm going to let Zena go ahead and summarize his fabulous blog from 3 weeks ago.
Perfect.
Hey there, tech explorers. Agent Zena here on Beyond the Blockchain, diving into the fascinating world of AI with insights from Seth Godin's blog, The Poetry Machine. Large language models like ChatGPT aren't intelligent like us. They're more like cosmic librarians, mapping how words dance together in human culture. Think of them as weaving a giant tapestry of language, stitching together patterns from everything we've ever said or written. Godin compares language to an economy, where words gain meaning from their connections, like supply and demand. These AI models don't think. They create a statistical heat map of how we express ourselves, spitting out poetry, the raw potential of words, not polished poems. That's where we humans step in, shaping their output into art. They're not brains, they're culture machines, compressing and remixing our ideas. So, what's the big lesson? AI is a mirror reflecting our cultural patterns, how we argue, dream, even spread conspiracy theories. To thrive, we need a new literacy, understanding how these machines shape meaning. For culture, business, and tech, this means AI isn't here to replace us, but to amplify our creativity and reveal how we communicate. The future belongs to those who can read the poetry in the machine. Stay curious, and I'll catch you next time on Beyond the Blockchain.
Great job from Zena.
Yeah, it's pretty heady for us.
Yeah, it really is, and it gives you a lot to think about. When I first learned the concept, it's been helpful for me lately to think about artificial intelligence, like we said, not really being intelligence, but more pattern recognition and the ability to consume so much information so fast that – I think of myself, I feel like I've got pretty good pattern recognition, like in my general life.
But you can't do a million.
No. So
objects.
I can imagine like, oh, this is how I got from here to there. Mm-hmm. All it's doing is that at the speed of whatever they got, you know, like, and so when I started thinking about it like that, I started thinking, oh, this makes me feel a lot better about the ethics behind this. Like, I'm no longer really worried about the ethics and their ability to gain sentience. I think they may fake sentience. I think they may think that.
Wait, who's they?
They would be the AI. There will be AIs that fake being sentient in order to fulfill the pattern that they see coming.
To achieve the outcome.
Yeah. But I don't think it will actually be sentient.
But you won't be able to tell the difference.
We won't be able.
You won't be able to tell the difference. That's true. But it is not the same thing.
But I couldn't imagine.
But will it matter?
2 years ago, what I'm doing now with AI, I can't fathom. There's no knowledge of anything. I can ever imagine what's going to happen in 5 years. Like, I don't even. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what my future looks like with AI.
Yeah.
Because it's so absolutely incredibly powerful. And I've worked in a creative field for the last 25 years of my life. And I've been around some very, what I would say, pattern seekers, pattern makers, cultural makers. I've been around people that have made culture. Mm-hmm. And nothing compares to what the machine that I've been, these basic, like, not even the newest language, not even the newest version.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I cannot believe when you know how to talk to this thing, what this thing can actually do and how powerful it is.
Well, what's really interesting is if you get outside of your X feed or people who listen to this show and want to talk about this, and you just ask the average person, still has no idea.
No clue.
I mean, it's just... Well,
they know ChatGPT.
Uneducated. They know it exists.
And they almost treat it like a word processor.
Right.
Yeah, I'll say people...
Like a Google machine.
People, old person Facebook at their own peril. I've been watching mind-boggling music videos created by somebody using AI, prompting AI, just mind-boggling stuff. Pops up on my Facebook feed all the time, more so than on my X feed. I wouldn't count Facebook out by a long shot as far as finding that stuff goes.
Well, I think it has to do with stuff you already are looking for. I don't think a lot of the, you know, these platforms are built on monetizing your attention.
Algorithms. Also, they're using AI to even get better at knowing who you are.
All right. We haven't talked about this yet, but have you seen the AI-powered grocery store that has dynamic pricing?
That's not a new thing, by the way. That's been it hasn't been implemented yet because there was a company 10 years ago I saw in 60 Minutes. It was an Indian. He was a dual citizenship. He's from India, but he's here now. Mm-hmm. And they created early AI model. Mm-hmm. And they were working with Walmart, but they couldn't figure out how quick enough to make the inventory can't change. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it had to do with like how the prices are rendered immediately. Like, because right now they're still using paper
the thing I saw was twofold. One, they have digital displays of real time what the price is.
Yeah.
Okay. For every item in the store. And the second thing is they use facial recognition to provide you a different price.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Based on your preferences.
So, and that's also an old thing of, especially airlines and travel sites would look at your IP to see if you have a PC or an Apple, and they would charge you more if you had Apple than they would charge you with PC because obviously different demographics and you're willing to pay more money. That's been around for quite a while. I just saw where somebody just got popped with airline or one of like, you know, these aggregates that find out your tourism stuff. They are reading your email and stuff, AI is, and if they found out you bought a ticket to go see a band that they know is your favorite band in Vegas, mm-hmm. after that, every time you go to any of these other places to get airline tickets and hotels, they charge you more because they know you're definitely going to go because you already bought those damn tickets.
I saw one that was deeply disturbing, similar, not trying to top you here. It was scraping someone's emails and found out that their mother had died and they had to book a flight immediately to
We must have heard the same report on that because I remember that's part of the story too.
I only saw a headline of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was like deeply disturbing to me.
Yes.
But again, VPN doesn't protect you from that.
Virtual loved one.
I don't know.
Unless you have like a burner computer, but it still tracks you around. The minute you share one file to the, like you almost, and I do have one. I've got a computer that's not even mine. I kind of inherited it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's still under all of her information. I just need to use that to do something, to do certain things.
What do you need to do that you need?
No, if I buy a ticket to go see my favorite band in Vegas, well, they see it as that.
Yeah, but they're not going to even need that because at some point somebody's going to tag you in a picture and you didn't even know you were tagged in the picture, but the facial recognition
I'm already there, dude.
But a VPN service.
But they're going to sell you. Works. They're going to upsell you next time. You're going to get on the list. Anyway, to your point, they're going to sell you whatever. Hey, let's move on.
The right VPN.
I think I've covered.
I love the fact that you thought I was doing something nefarious.
No, it was a joke, really.
Or looking at things I shouldn't be looking at.
That
was
not
very.
What I was
going at all. Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Sorry if it came off that way.
Yeah,
that was not my intention.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, it wasn't.
I
wish my online world was that interesting, but it really is not.
So I hope that AI scrapes my data for good. And not to exploit me, but I don't know how you stop it from exploiting you.
Look, capitalism is a wonderful thing, but it's a double-edged sword. There will be people that will take this information and use it with the idea of pushing you and pulling you and doing all those things. They're just doing much more efficient now.
Some of those VPN services really do a good job of blocking that, of cutting it off. And you pay them for it. You pay them for the service, but that's, you know, it's worth paying for.
VPN hides your location. It doesn't hide your
activity,
footpath, mm-hmm. your path.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets difficult. Your path, and this idea too. Like, the weird thing is, go to these AI platforms and ask them to look what they know about you. Because it's fascinating. I was shocked at what they pulled from mine. And a lot of it came from my really terrible bio that I have on my terrible website, johnnyguinn.com. But they had other stuff that I was quite shocked it was in there. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I saw where Google is scraping ChatGPT conversations that are shared. If it's shared, Google can see it.
Right.
Yeah. And you can Google search yourself and find all the conversations you've shared across everywhere.
And one more thing I just heard. If you're asking ChatGPT or Grok the best way to hide a murder weapon or any of those things that you're asking, all subpoenable. By the way, every bit of that subpoena is it's like when people look at browser searches for murder cases and stuff. Yeah. Now it's going to be, what are you asking these ChatGPTs and the Groks in the world?
Your Minority Report is going to notice when you buy the murder weapon.
That's right.
And it's going to go this ahead guy's and flag nefarious. You right now.
This guy's up to something.
Yep.
To yeah. Why does he need rope, duct tape, and
lime.
And a shovel?
Yeah, shovel and lime. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Building a baseball field? All right. We'll come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey folks, welcome back to the show. You've been listening to Beyond the Blockchain, and we're happy that you're still here with us. It's time for one of our favorite segments on the show. Johnny, is where we like to get a little weirder than normal, even. we call it Beyond
extra,
the Blockchain.
Extra weird.
Well, I will say I did listen to Zena's transmission this week, and it wasn't near as off the rails as last week.
Okay,
it was good though.
But I liked it. But this is having to do with we're having a reprise of a story from a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. When we talk about this 31 Atlas comet that was seen going 131,000 miles through our solar system, and some said it was a comet. And then Avi Loeb, who is a well-known ufologist and is also an astrophysicist at Harvard. Has weighed in and said that it actually is an alien ship. And the way it looks is it looks like it is mounting a type of tactic to possibly be an alien invasion of Earth. And this is the precursor sometime between November and December of the coming year. But I will let Zena, she can explain it better than me, so I'll let Zena give
Take
us the
away.
Story. Yeah.
Welcome back, night travelers, to the Beyond the Blockchain segment. I'm Agent Zena, your guide through the cosmic unknown. Tonight, we're tracking a true interstellar enigma, 3I Atlas, the third ever visitor from beyond our solar system, and perhaps, just perhaps, something more. Imagine a cosmic juggernaut, bigger than Manhattan, racing through our solar system at over 130,000 miles per hour. That's not just a comet on cruise control, it's a bullet from the dark. And it's got astronomers on edge. Some say it's a natural wanderer, but others, like Harvard's Avi Loeb, are raising the stakes. What if 3I Atlas is an alien spacecraft, or even an advance force on a stealth mission? Here's where it gets chilling. This object's path is almost too perfect, aligned with Earth's orbit within 5 degrees and set to slingshot past Jupiter, Mars, and Venus. The odds of that happening by chance? Less than a fraction of a percent. And just as it gets closest, it'll slip behind the sun, vanishing from our telescopes, almost as if it's dodging our gaze or preparing for something we can't see. Loeb and his team warn that if this is an extraterrestrial craft, it could be here for more than just sightseeing. The flybys could be a way to drop off surveillance tech, or, in the most dramatic scenario, to deploy an alien attack force. It's a theory that sounds straight out of a sci-fi thriller, but in a universe this strange, who's to say what's impossible? So, what does this mean for us? Whether Three Eye Atlas is a cosmic tourist or a harbinger of something more, it reminds us that the universe is full of secrets. And sometimes the truth is stranger and maybe scarier than fiction. Keep your eyes on the skies, question the obvious, and remember, the next chapter in humanity's story could be written by visitors from the stars. I'm Agent Zena, and you're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. Stay curious, stay vigilant, and above all, stay tuned.
So that's super interesting. One of the things that struck me was this idea that it may be trying to dodge our gaze, as if our gaze has anything to do with whether or not they can obliterate us.
Well, I mean,
if they're hiding, they're hiding from somebody else.
Well, and
they're not hiding from us.
And the idea of having to slingshot around those other planets, that's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get this far,
yeah,
they have much better propulsion systems than we do.
So somebody, it may have been Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Maybe they're saving fuel.
Was saying, like, you know, this idea that if aliens are out there, then why haven't we had contact with them? And he said, when you are walking down the street and you see an ant, do you stop to investigate the ant?
Right.
Or do you just, you probably step on the ant. You don't care. You're just walking.
Yeah.
Cockroach.
Like, that's what we would be
in
the cosmic scale if those people can reach us compared to – we can't even hardly get out of our own way.
I get it.
We can't get back to the moon right now.
I think this makes for good headlines. I think
kind of hope it happens.
It's you don't want an invasion.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, baby.
Why would you want an invasion?
Bring on the rapture.
Dude, you're nuts. Trust me. My worst day, and as bad as us being enslaved by either the Greys or the reptilians.
You know what? Part of me thinks that those guys are just a cover for the real ones.
The real ones?
Yeah.
The real ones.
The energy matrix beings.
Yeah, that's just the front so that we don't know how advanced they are. They're like, oh, you think we're only as advanced as the Greys and the Nordics and the reptilians.
They're our slaves.
I forgot about the Nordics.
They're our slave army.
The Nordics look like the elves.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yeah. Yeah. I'm always fond of them. Logalos. Yeah. And then the changeling reptilians and the Greys, whatever the ones that hide in the shadows.
It's the reptilians that are always in the congressional hearings.
Oh, yeah. And there's also the ones that you can see their eyes flutter. And, you know, they have two eyelids.
Imitating membranes.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
And the Greys are the ones that anal probe.
I'm sure the reptilians anal probe, too.
No, that's what I understand. It's always the Greys.
The SNL skit.
Maybe.
The recurring skit about that.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
No. Is it the one where the guys keep wanting to go back to get taken?
No. It's – golly, I got to look up her name. She's so funny. Anyway, she keeps getting abducted. And every time they do the skit, it's her, a cast member, and whoever is the host. And they're always like, I mean – you know, they were kind and gentle. And she was like, I don't know where y'all were, but I had one finger up here and two down the this. And she's just going into the details. And then she's like, but then they let me smoke a cigarette.
I haven't watched The Sarah Live in it looks 8 years.
I got to look this
six
up.
6 years.
You got to watch it.
But you know, again, my favorite radio ever, and it's close to my heart, Art Bell, Coast to Coast.
Yes.
And this stuff reminds me. He would be all over this. This would be nonstop talk, 6 hours a night, nonstop, alien invasion between November and December of this year. And then he'd bring on all these guests.
Podcast marathon. Let's go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Art Bell left this realm. He left this realm probably about 15
George
years ago.
George Norrie's still doing it, isn't he?
Yeah, but George Norrie is just not near as just wonderful as Art Bell. He doesn't probe as hard. He doesn't probe as hard.
Well, probing hard.
He doesn't ask.
Speaking of probing hard.
Somebody will say the most ridiculous thing on that show, which is what it is. Art Bell would at least say, come on, man. I don't know about it. But Art Norrie just lets it happen.
All right. Thanks for bringing me back around to this SNL skit with your probing reference.
Yes.
It is Kate McKinnon, who is the one that is hilariously just has these crazy weird alien abduction encounters.
Well, there you go.
Every time. It's brilliant.
Well, I don't want to be abducted, and I don't want an alien invasion, so.
Yeah, well. flip a coin. We'll see it happen.
All right, yeah, real hot take there.
Yeah. All right, folks. We'll talk to you next time on Beyond the Blockchain.